This year, at the beginning of the year, God, I always seek Him around the fall of the year for a theme coming up to the year, not just because preachers like to have a theme that goes with the year, but I just believe God has things that He wants to address. And as I travel and go places, and as I speak in my home church, I believe He has a theme and a season that we're in, almost like in worship where you get into a flow of worship. And so I just want to read the word that He gave to me for this year. I've been preaching on it on several places, and there's a specific part of this that I believe the Lord wants to deposit in this place today. He said this to me. He said, 2011 will be a year of great opportunity. Now, right now, I want you to get out of the flesh and into the spirit. Because every unbelief, every spirit of unbelief, every spirit of hopelessness screams against that. How could there be opportunity in this season? Come on. All right, the girls know I will stay on a point until you get it. So, all right. So just for the sake of all of you, those that are just now getting the coffee surging in your veins, I'll start over. 2011 will be a year of great opportunity. Now, I thought this cannot be my flesh. This has to be God. So I'm just going to agree with what He's saying. A year of an open door, if you will. Position yourselves for entrance to walk through and into these opportunities. You must have great discernment, eyes to see so that these opportunities may be recognized. Mm-hmm. Obedience is key to experience the fullness that I desire for you in this season. What may at times seem, and this, I was reading over this morning and I felt this very specifically for this house. What may at first seem like a very small thing will unfold before you to have great significance.
Come on.
It pleases my heart to bring my people into abundance, but many do not follow me into this provision and outflow of my heart. Obedience in the small matters, even in inner motives of the heart, will yield great reward. Prepare early in this new season inwardly for what I want to do through you. Great abundance, great harvest is a great responsibility and requires great and strong character to sustain. This will be forged in the fires of the holiness of my presence. Yield to the work of this, the work of the blacksmith. And when the Lord spoke that word of the blacksmith, I immediately thought of Isaiah 54, verse 16, and you can turn there if you would. But I want to say a couple things about opportunities. You know, opportunities are not automatic. I want these things to soak into your spirit today. You said perfectly, let this word saturate you. I don't want this bouncing off your heads today. You didn't come here for head ministry, you came here for heart ministry. Opportunities, and this is what I had the Lord say, opportunities will be offered, but they must be picked up. And what I want to say, because this part of it came back to me as I was reading that word again, is that opportunities don't always appear like opportunities. Sometimes opportunities will very much look like work. Bless God. But opportunities will be offered, but they won't be automatic. We must pick them up. And that's why we need the discernment. Because if it was like waving a flag, I'm an opportunity, this is going to bless your life, you'll never be the same. Oh, we'd run. But because it may not look like what it is. Oh my God, I just felt the anointing on that. You have to understand, you are not what you're going to be. You're not what you're going to be individually. You're not what you're going to be corporately. Just like when you sow an offering, you ought to be always glad when you sow an offering because that offering is not what it's going to be. Farmers, when you sow seed in the summer, you ought to understand this real well. I grew up on a farm. I love the farm. I love farm work. But when you sow seeds in the spring, and it will come, amen. When you sow seeds in the spring, they're not what they're going to be. And see, you ought to rejoice because God put all kinds of things like this all around us to show us potential in something often comes in a very small package. Glory to God. And over again in His Word, the Lord says, don't despise the days of small beginnings. Amen. This is already better than I thought. Glory to God. All right, I want to focus on the part of this word today where it says great abundance, great harvest is great responsibility. Because I sense very strongly that the Lord is ready and you are in the very Genesis seeds of something great here. But God doesn't allow great things to just anyone. Because when we're allowed to host, I mean, think about what I'm saying. When we're allowed to host a move of God, think about what I'm saying. When you're allowed to host the presence of God, think about what I'm saying. When Solomon built a temple, he said, even the heavens can't contain my presence. And you would think that you can build a house for me. Yet God chooses many times to come down and dwell among us. And I believe it's that kind of thing that's stirring in this region.
Come on. Amen.
And listen to what I'm saying. I mean, this is the Lord saying He wants to host something here. Imagine what it takes to sustain that. I mean, I saw these little cute little guys running around today. There's one of them back there. You wouldn't walk over to them and give them a 500-pound weight. It'd crush them. Come on. You wouldn't take a 200-pound barbell and say, why don't you lift that? It'd crush them. But there's some men in this room that could lift that. And this, you see, you have to understand this is the work that the Lord is doing in the body, is He's beginning to strengthen us, and He's beginning to stretch us, and He's beginning to expand our capacity so we can even understand some of these things. Come on. We'll go somewhere if you'll come with me today. Amen? And the Lord wants to do that in this body. But going through some of these seasons are sometimes difficult. Any of you that have ever been in sports or worked out or done any kind of exercise, there's a burn that you have to go through to produce any kind of muscle. There's pain in working out. If you've ever run till your lungs burned and you thought your lungs were going to blow up and then you ran some more and you found out you had greater capacity, this is the kind of thing in the spirit that the Lord is doing. You see, Jesus will have a glorious church. We've lived with some of these promises and these words for so long, they fall off us like water off a duck's back. And we have to begin to let these seep into our heart and realize that the Lord Jesus Christ will have a glorious church. He said, I am coming back for a church that is without spot and without wrinkle. The church does not look like that now, but He will have a glorious church. Because He said He would. And I believe there's part of this. Some of us have gone through some of the most difficult seasons in our lives. And isn't it good to know that God is going to use that for His glory? And let me show you that quickly. I'm not teaching on that today. I'm trying to get out of my introduction, as you know. Isaiah 54, verse 16. When He spoke to me about the ministry of the blacksmith, I immediately thought of the scripture. I didn't have full understanding, and nor do I yet. But I believe there is an equipping and a refining in the work of the Lord. He said, behold, I, now this is the Lord speaking here, have created the blacksmith who blows the coals in the fire, who brings forth an instrument for His work. There's someone controlling the heat in your life that's producing something. Behold, I have created the blacksmith who blows the coals in the fire, who brings forth an instrument for His work. This is one element of the work, and I want to talk about one thing that He fashions out of this today. We cannot ever get to the fullness of this. One of the works of Jesus, one of the works of Jesus the Messiah, is refining. Amen. And so I believe this is kind of a joint work of the, you know, and sometimes when you get into dividing the Godhead, God help me, you know, and talking about the Trinity, I mean, you can't even begin some of these things, but they all work together. But this is the work, I believe literally the blacksmith is the Holy Spirit who breathes on the coals of the fire to create a work. Who knows just the amount of heat that we need, just the amount, because he's fashioning something. I want you to get this in your spirit. In your life, all that you've been through, all that you've learned, all that you've persevered through is for something. Amen. And it's for something glorious. And if we would know, we'd go through it all over again just because we want it so bad.
Amen.
I'm telling you the truth. He's fashioning something. One of the works of Jesus is to purify. If you'll turn with me, be a quick flipper for me today, okay? To Malachi chapter 3. And it says this. We may go back to this today, so if you want to stick a paper in there or something, you can. It says, who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like, this is talking about him, Jesus. He is like a refiner's fire. You know, we have those religious pictures of Jesus, the shepherd carrying the lamb, and he looks like a nice Jesus. Oh my, there's some religion today, and we'll just, I love that because I'll just run right up against it. Bless God. And Jesus is a very nice Jesus. He is. But he's also King of Kings.
That's right.
And Lord of Lords. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the soon coming King. He's the one who roars. And when he speaks, it's like thunder and like thousands of gallons and multitudes of water. I'm telling you, he's great. And one of the aspects of Jesus is that he is a refiner's. He's like a refiner's fire and like a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver that they may offer. Notice, all this refining, all this purging, all this working of fire is so that they can become something. And part of it is offering something to him. This word refine, you see all throughout Scripture. I did another message on the ministry of the blacksmith. I'm not doing that today. But I want you to know the basic idea of this refining. It's the process of bringing something to completion. And if you've gone through the fire, if you're going through the fire, it's very good news that it's for something. That it's working something in you. It's fashioning something in you. Now let me just tell you this. I'm going to break down a couple of words here. In this Isaiah 54 where it says who brings forth an instrument for his work. This word for his work is for labor, a work of God. As I mentioned, I believe the Lord is getting ready to do a move of God here. A visitation, whatever you want to call it, an outpouring. But now this word instrument, this word instrument in this verse 16, who brings forth an instrument for his work, it can mean these things. It can be an implement that is used in hunting or war. So God could be fashioning you to be a hunter. Remember what Jesus told the guys? I'll make you fishers. Well, hunt fish. You know, I'm a woman. I'm trying to make an analogy here. I don't go fishing, I go catching, right? That's my deal. You can talk to my husband about that later. Come on. But he may be fashioning you to hunt people for the kingdom. Isn't that good? He may be fashioning you. Another facet of this is it's an instrument of music. He may be fashioning you to be an instrument of worship. Hallelujah. It can also mean a vessel, a receptacle. Oh my gosh, there's so much there, a tool. I don't dare touch it. All right. But the thing that the Lord is fashioning, it can also be used of a creative work of God. Only God can do it. You see, that's why he's the minister that's blowing on the coals. Let's look at Psalm 104. I'm almost out of my introduction. Thank you, Jesus, for helping me. Psalm 104. Thank you, Lord. God's doing something with you. He's doing something in here today. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, who covers yourself with light as with a garment, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain. He lays the beams of his upper chambers in the waters, who makes the clouds his chariot, who walks on the wings of the wind. This is your God. This same God that does all that, look at this verse 4, who makes, remember we talked about fashioning, who makes an instrument, who makes his angel spirits, his ministers, a flame of fire. His ministers, a flame of fire. Now this word minister, in case you were just ready to exclude yourself, please don't do that today. It means to attend to as a worshiper. This word minister literally means to attend to as a worshiper. So that includes all of us, because we're all called to be worshipers of God. It means to contribute to. It's talking about this in one of the meanings, it says of the personal service rendered to an important personage. Who would that important personage be that we're serving? But see, you're not just fashioned to be a worshiper. You're fashioned to be a worshiper that's a flame of fire.
That's right.
Moo. If I ever moo, I'm just sensing religion, and so I will just continue on that path. Because I'm telling you, religion is the greatest opposition to the move of God. We have a form of godliness, but we deny the power. And I'm telling you, the reason the church is aren't busting at the seams anywhere in America is because we've had a form of godliness and we've denied the power. And it's time for the fire of God to return to the church of God. And I'm telling you, when the fire returns, when the fire begins to burn, people will run. Because they want the real. That's why they'd rather do cocaine. They'd rather do meth because they want to feel something. And God's ready for them to feel something. He's ready to burn on them. God's not opposed to feeling. He just wants to be in control of it. I'm telling you, I've been high. And there's no high like the Most High. Nothing compares to what He can do in my life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God, help me to hit the most important things today. Okay, let's just talk about fire for a minute. I love fire. When I used to do children's ministry at church, I would beg them, please let me do the fire lessons. Something about fire. There's something about light that attracts things. There's something about a fire. You know, if you're ever sitting around and there's a campfire, it just draws people's attention. Well, don't you think God wants to draw attention to the church? Well, set us on fire, God. Come on. Set us on fire. And God, just start today. Amen. In case you think fire is an incidental thing to God, it's mentioned in over 500 scriptures. Yes, I said 500. What correlations do you make when you think of fire? A lot of times when we think of fire, we think of hell. Come on. So we think, I don't want the fire. No, you want the fire. But you want the right kind of fire. You don't want hellfire. You do not want hellfire. You know, people joke and make fun of hell, and they say, I'm just going to go there and be with all my friends. I'm telling you, when you're in a real fire, there's blackness. And when you're in that kind of judgment fire, there's nothing funny about it. There's nothing pleasing about it. There's nothing you'll enjoy in hell.
Come on.
If you want enjoyment, run with God. I'm telling you, don't go halfway. Run crazy with God. You know, if you, God's looking for the crazy ones. I'm praying in my church. I'm telling you, why do you think I got saved? I'm telling you, God wants some loudmouths in the kingdoms. He wants the life of the party in the kingdom. Why chase the wrong thing and get filled up with stuff that's never going to satisfy you? Come on. If you want to get drunk in God.
Yes.
I'm telling you the truth. Because you don't have a hangover and it never goes away.
That's right.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Why have the stuff that, oh my God, well, stop it, Mavis, get on the fire. All right. I'm telling you, fire, you want the good fire. Fire is the atmosphere of heaven. Have you ever thought about it? Well, then let's just talk about it in a minute. I don't dare preach this part because there's some other fire stuff I want to talk about today. But fire is the atmosphere of heaven. Just write this stuff down, okay? Are you ready for this? In heaven, there's fire in the floor. In Revelation chapter 15, verse 2, just let me read this to you. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire. So when you go to heaven, you see the one, you want the right kind of fire. When you go to heaven, you're going to look at the floor and it's going to burn like fire. I'd just like to have some of that here. My God. So here in heaven, fire is foundational. Okay, because we're walking on fire in heaven. Just in case you think heaven is not a real place, it is, and there's fire on the floor. All right? And it's foundational. So, therefore, fire, make this analogy with me, fire is a platform for his presence. So that's why we got to have the fire in the churches. Because it's a platform, it's a base for his presence. Amen. His presence is encircled and infused with fire. You see, many, many people have thought that they could pursue God passively and they'd find him. Ouch. I'll say it again. Many people have thought that they could pursue God passively and they'd find him. I'm telling you, we need to burn with passion for him. You're burning with something. I'm telling you, you get to women and talk about a sale and where stuff is 59 cents. I'm telling you, they burn with passion for it. They talk about it. And we need to burn with passion for God. I'm telling you, when the fish are biting on the lake, the guys are burning up with what color they're biting on. And they're talking about it. We need to burn with passion for God. I won't quit, so don't worry. All right, around the throne, there's fire. I'm telling you, there's fire all over heaven. I want it here. There's fire all around the throne. Let me read you one scripture out of Ezekiel 1:13. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, like the appearance of torches. Think of that, going back and forth among the living creatures. The fire was bright, and out of the fire went lightning. So here in heaven, picture if you can with me, fire on the floor. And then these torches. And I'm thinking, you guys, God, we got to get out of this Bic mentality with God. It's not like these little flames. I believe, you know, you talk about angels. You're talking 8 or 9 feet tall. Torches, whoosh, whoosh, moving in heaven. And every time they move, I bet they say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. There's fire in heaven. There's fire around the throne, and there's fire right in front of the throne. And we're going to look at this in a little bit. But when it talks in Isaiah 6 about him taking a live coal from before the altar. So right in front of the altar, there's fire. Right in front of the throne of God, there's fire. Now, in heaven, there's a throne. And on that throne, only one sits, and it's God. No one ever else has sat upon that throne, and he will only ever sit upon that throne, and that's God. And that throne burns with fire. Because Hebrews 12:29 says, our God is a consuming fire. Now, if you look back at Genesis 1:26, and we're made in his image, and we are still in his image, shouldn't we be consumed with fire as well? And show the image of God. Amen. Jesus, you want to talk about Jesus in fire? Oh my gosh, I don't even know how many scriptures says it, but let me give them to you one at a time. Revelations 1:14, all these say the same thing. His head and hair were white like wool and as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. There's a saying that says the eyes are the window of the soul. So what do you suppose is in Jesus' soul? Fire. This is why I don't think the pictures of the nice Jesus are really correct. I think Jesus is crazy. I think he is one of the wildest people you will ever meet. When you meet him, I don't think he'll say, how's it going? I think he's going to grab you, brother, and he's going to squeeze you until you can't breathe because he loves you so much. That's the kind of fire he has in you. And he's going to be so thankful you made it. He's going to hug you to himself until you can't breathe. And he said, I'm so glad you made it. Because he knows we push through things to get there. He's full of passion. And he's full of fire. Revelations 2:18 says the same thing. Revelations 19:12 says the same thing. Daniel 10:6 says the same thing. Do you think Jesus' eyes burn with fire? Yes, they do. Because his soul burns with fire. The Holy Spirit is connected with fire. Let's look at this one in Matthew chapter 3. Are you guys doing okay? I think we burned up a couple cows. Hallelujah. I smell it burning. Matthew chapter 3. Yeah, roast beef. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water. This is John speaking here, unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I. And we've got to know there's one that's mightier than I. Whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, we've gotten the Holy Spirit. We need to get the fire.
Come on.
We need the fire. Yeah. And I believe they come together. We just haven't known it. Come on. You got to understand, Jesus wants you to have it all. It's not like he's saying, I hope you figure it out in 50 years and maybe you'll get a speck. He wants you to get it. If he said he's coming to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire, he wants you to have the fire. Oh, moo, moo, moo. Okay, verse 12. Look at this with me because we got to keep moving this morning. Now, we just talked about this. I'm going to back up a little bit. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Look at this. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now, I don't believe this is talking about hell. Hallelujah. I believe there's a work of the fire of God that he wants to burn in us because he wants to make us ready to host a move of God. And you understand, let me just be honest, okay? I'm honest about me. I'm honest about all of us this morning. If we were ready for it, we'd have it. And that's not condemnation. I believe God's releasing things so we know how we can do this. And part of it is letting him burn up the things in us that are hindering it. So let the unquenchable fire come. And let it burn the chaff. The things that resist the presence of God. Burn up every religious cow. Come on, that hinders us, that lets us have a form and denies the power of it. I don't want a form of God. I don't want a form of revival. I don't want a form of church. I don't want to play church. I want it. I want the fire. I want the real. There's a fire that comes from heaven. I believe it, that just as we would seek to avoid the fires of hell, we'd seek just as hard to find the fires of heaven. Here and now. Amen? You know, whenever something, in the natural, whenever something encounters fire, it's never the same. It bears the marks of that fire. And I believe that is what'll happen in our day, that we'll bear the marks of the fire. Amen. Three purposes for fire. Again, I'm making this as quick as I can. Three primary purposes. There's other ones. But fire can be used for purification, which we've been talking about and which I think is vital. God will use his fire for your protection. Hallelujah. And third, he uses fire for illumination. Isn't it interesting that in 1 Kings 18, God is known as the God that answers by fire? It's one of the names of God. He's the God that answers by fire. We sang that song, You Called, I Answered. What if he would have sent some fire bolts down today? Everybody would be sitting up a little straighter in their chairs, that's for sure. Because you see, when sacrifices, this is what we got to know. The Bible's not a fake book. It's not a story about something. This stuff in these leather covers here really happened. And when they used to sacrifice in the old covenant, they would do a sacrifice. They didn't light their little match under it and say, here, God. When they gave that sacrifice,
whoom,
from heaven, fire would come and say, "That's good." Moo. I said fire would come out of heaven. Fire would come out of heaven and consume that thing. Now the Bible calls us in Romans 12, living sacrifices. Isn't it time we have God answer by fire? And come down and burn on some of us and say, whoom, that's good. I think we're having a little bit of it today. Hallelujah. Why do you think he put a pillar of fire in front of the children of Israel so they could see a manifestation of how he was? The God that had done all that stuff and crushed the most powerful nation on the earth in Egypt, he said, "This is me. I'm burning with love for you. I'm burning with passion for you. This is me. I'm the God of fire." That's who he is. Amen? And that same fire illuminated them. It gave them light so they'd know which way to go. It gave them illumination to their path. Psalm 119, 105 said, "His word is a lamp unto our feet." Now lamps burn. The word ought to burn in our hearts. A lamp is no good unless it's lit. It's just a decoration. I don't want to be a decoration. Come on, that was better than you said. Amen. All right, let's get into this, all right? I thought we were. Well, I'm trying. All right, Luke 12, 49. This is what I want you to see. This is where we start. This is where we start. Do you think if anything's going to happen on the earth, we prayed this morning in prayer, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So if we're going to pray his will, we ought to know what it is. Amen. Was that too hard for Sunday morning? If we're going to pray his will, what do you think should be done in the earth? His will. Is it being done everywhere? Obviously not. That's a good, you young girls should have been rolling your eyes at me on that one. My daughters always roll their eyes at me when they're all like, "Mom, come on." Is God's will being done in the earth? Oh my gosh, for sure no. Right? Why isn't it being done? The age-old question. Because we need to pray it in. Jesus told us to pray it, so he wants it done here. It's going to come through prayer. He said, "Pray, my kingdom come, my will be done on earth as it is in heaven." There's a lot of things that are happening on earth that for sure are not happening in heaven. All right? So I'm just going around all this to say, if we're going to have the fire, how do you suppose we're going to get it? We're going to pray it in. Amen. Amen. Moo to yourself. All right? In Luke 12, 49, I'm reading this out of the Amplified. "I have come," Jesus said this. Now, "I have come." I believe Jesus does what he wants to do and he gets done what he wants done. So he said, "I have come to cast fire upon the earth, and how I wish that it were already kindled." This is a powerful verse. I want what Jesus wants. I'm telling you, I will stand by myself if I have to, but I believe all of you are standing with me and saying, I want what Jesus wants. Anybody in here want what Jesus wants? Yeah. Jesus wants fire burning on the earth. Does he say that there? Yeah. He says, "I want fire burning on the earth." Now, if I was a fire and brimstone preacher, which I kind of get up on the edge of that today, but we've used that as judgment, but I believe God wants to burn with fiery passion across the earth. Burn with fiery miracles across the earth. He says, "I want to cast this fire on the earth. I wish it were burning already. I've come to do this." This is one of the things that Jesus came to do. The Weymouth translation said this: "I came to throw fire upon the earth, and what is my desire? Oh, that it were now kindled." Weiss translation says, "I came to throw upon the earth fire, and how much I wish that it were already set blazing." Do you remember one of the first verses we started with? Psalm 104:4 says, "I make my ministers flames of fire." And I believe one of the ways that he's going to throw fire on the earth is by throwing fiery ministers throughout his earth.
Come on. Amen.
Amen. Now let me talk to you about this word in where it talks about these ministers of flame of fire in Psalm 104. The word for flaming fire. His ministers of flaming fire. That to me speaks of a growing, living, moving fire, not a fire that's almost out. I've lived that way sometimes. Like I don't have anything burning on me. Come on, we've all done it. But the word for flaming here, and this is what I want to tell you, the word for flaming here, because this is where I got this revelation. The word for flaming here means to blaze or set on fire. This is the same word that it was used for the flaming sword of the cherubim that was set in front of the tree of life. And I want to talk to you about that sword today. It's the same word, a flaming fire, flaming sword. It can be seen from these that God uses ministers being a flame of fire means that they are to be so full of zeal in the anointing of the Spirit that nothing can stand in their way. I think it's time for the church to be that. Yes. It's represented among God as men and exemplified by Christ. I've come to cast fire upon the earth. I think you can see from now, as I breeze through some of this stuff, that fire is an integral part. We thought it was just an extra thing, or we thought it was a side thing. Fire is an integral part of the Lord's presence, of God Himself, part of how He is, how He's put together. And I believe it's part of what He wants to accomplish in this dispensation. I believe He wants to release fire on the earth. How do we host this fire? How do we keep this fire? I think, first of all, we've got to keep it a matter of prayer. We ought to be agreeing with God. Our petitions ought to be in line with His will. But I think we must personally seek for this in our lives and in each of our lives. We've got to seek for this fire. You know, you can't seek, and that's part of why the Lord's releasing this word. You can't seek after something you don't know that you should be. Some of you think, well, some people are just crazy like you, Mavis, and they just... You're just on fire. They're just, no, this isn't a personality thing. This is the fire of God. Amen? Let's look at this in Genesis chapter 3, verse 24. I just want to show you this because this is what I believe is happening. Thank you, Lord. Yep, that's what we're going to do. We've got to direct our passion in this way. I believe this is specifically for this church, but I believe there's many pockets in the earth that are called to be fiery stewards of the presence of God. I'll say it again because you want to say amen to this. I believe that's for this church. And I believe there's pockets all over that God wants to make fiery stewards of His presence. Because if you want to steward His presence, you've got to resemble Him. You understand what I'm saying? If you want to, we're talking about bringing heaven down to earth. Well, then there ought to be some fire because there's fire in heaven. I'm not going to take time to teach about the fall. You know what happened in the garden. They fell. They got booted out. They were in this perfect place where they walked with God, and then they were left. But look at this. Look what happens here. Because I believe that this is a prophetic picture of what we're called to do today. I believe this is what the Lord is fashioning out of the fires that He's doing. Genesis 3:24. So He drove out the man, and He placed a cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. I believe the Lord is fashioning in the fires a sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That Word is all already fashioned, but it's fashioning in us to be a weapon for the Lord, that we can stand in His presence, and we cannot keep people from it, but we can mark the way to it. And because we have the Word burning in our hearts and we have the fire of God burning around us, we'll turn every way. We'll turn to the north. We'll turn to the south. We'll turn to the east and to the west. And we will be a beacon of the fiery presence of God and saying, this is the way to the tree of life. I believe that's the weapon that the Lord is fashioning in the fires of this day. And He wants to release in the church. That was literally a road, a way to this. And in that day, it was to keep them from life. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That way is now open into His presence. And I believe we are those fiery swords standing in lighthouse places like lighthouses across the earth, burning, turning every way, saying, this is the way to the tree of life. A flaming sword for the Lord. Amen? It's the Lord's will. It absolutely is will to release the fire of God and the glory of His presence upon the earth. I want to show you this prophetic progression of the glory of God and His will, because we have to understand we've believed for too little. And that's why I said we've got to get out of this Bic mentality, the flaming sword. It's not, He's not talking about a little twinkle of light. He wants a blaze that's going to burn up all the things that stand in the way. Amen? So turn with me, if you would, to Numbers chapter 14. And I want to destroy the unbelief that stands in the way of the glory of God. Are you all okay still? God has set you in this body, in this place, for such a time as this. And we have to know our purpose. We have to know what burns in the heart of God for us. Because I want to burn with Him. I just don't want to, you know, if you take a stick out of the fire, what's going to happen? It's going to go out, right? Poof, little smoke, poof, nothing, all gone. Psh, all done. But see, we need to throw all our sticks on the fire so we can burn hot and bright for God. Okay, we're going to move through this rather quickly, so we're just going to be flipping through. But I want to show you a prophetic progression of God releasing His heart. He was prophesying. He's been prophesying glory throughout Scripture. And we're just going to go through this quickly because I want you to begin to agree with what the Lord wants in the earth. Amen? So in Numbers chapter 14, and see, God is always trying to take His people somewhere. As I believe He is here. He never wants us to be a stagnant people. He's always taking us somewhere. There's a scripture. He moves us from glory to glory, right? And some of us are just trying to find the glory for the first time. Hallelujah, or oh me, right? Amen. We want to be in the glory. But see, once you find the glory, and this is for the next time, when you find the glory, you're not going to stay in the glory because He's going to move you to a new level of glory. Why? Because He's God. And there's so much of Him, He wants you to experience it over and over and more and more and more. That's what I love about serving God. You're never bored. Because there's always more. So He's moving His people and He's trying to get them where He wants them to go. All right? So in Numbers 14, and you know what happens here. They, 12 guys went in, 10 were scared, freaked out. They said, we're not going. Two saw it. Okay, so that's where we are. Verse 6 of 14. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes and they spoke to all the congregation because the 10 guys had just said, we can't do this. And see, that's what religion says is we can't do this. Moo. Religion says we want it this way. We don't want to change. We want this nice little Jesus that we had. I'm sorry I tipped over your nice Jesus today. We want this nice little Jesus that is just nice and good and we can go to church for a minute and then go away and have our own lives. It's not like that. And see, some of them, we want the nice God that rains down manna every day. When we go into this new land, we're going to have to get food for ourselves. We're going to have to work. There's giants there. We're going to have to... You mean we're going to have to fight for this? And God's like, oh, please. Yes. Yes. You're going to have to fight for the fire? Yes. Is it worth it? Oh, yes. Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who spied out the land, tore their clothes. They went into mourning and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel saying the land was passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. And this is what I'm here to tell you today. This thing that God has us after is an exceedingly good thing. It exceeds good. Do you understand? It's beyond what you can imagine. It's beyond what you've ever tasted. That's what's in front of you. Shoo. If the Lord delights in us, which He does, He will bring us into this land and give to us the land which flows with milk and honey. Or only do not rebel against the Lord. You see, when we don't believe God, He doesn't think, oh, they're just having a bad day. When we don't believe God, He looks at it as rebellion. Amen. And this is why every time we read the Word of God and we see something in there that's hard for us to believe, we have to say, I don't get this, God, but I believe what You're saying. When pastor gets up and says, we're going somewhere, well, we haven't seen it yet, believe what the Lord is saying. Posture yourself to choose to be in belief and not be in opposition to what God's doing. This is very serious. Because it cost a whole generation of entering in. I'm unwilling to do it for this generation. I'm unwilling to go one more time through the wilderness. We've heard the stories. We've heard the stories. We heard the stories of people raising up out of wheelchairs. We've heard the stories of blind eyes being opened. We've heard the stories of people that can't walk walking. We've heard the stories. It's time to stop hearing the stories and start doing the stories. And we can't rebel against what God's calling us to do. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are bread. They're bread. Their protection has departed from in them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And all the congregation said to stone them. They were going to stone these guys for telling the truth of what God had. In the ensuing chapter, Moses intercedes for them. God knows why. I would have said, yes, God, kill them. This is it. I've had it. Yes, you should all thank God I'm not God. Amen. You should all thank God you're not God too. Amen. But Moses intercedes and says, God, give us one more chance. And I believe there's intercessors that have stood in the gap for generations and said, God, give the body of Christ one more chance. God, don't give up on us. We're going to find, God, I know one day we'll find a generation that'll believe. One day we're going to find a generation that'll believe for the fire, God, and they'll call it down. That won't give up on the lost, God. One day there'll be a generation that will contend for the fire of God, and I believe it's now. And in verse 20, then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word, but truly as I live. Now I want you to look at this. Is God ever going to die? So as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of God. Now, we have not seen this yet, but neither has God died. Now, that might seem like a trite thing, but God promised this on his life. Now, that's a serious promise. And he said, as surely as I live, well, God will always live. So as surely as he will always live, this day will come when his glory will cover the earth. He said, you've seen my glory. Now let's look ahead 500 years later, okay? That was kind of a fast speed bump, but you can stay with me. Solomon prays. So 500 years pass. This promise comes. God speaks this. This is what I want. As long as I'm living, do you realize God's heart desire is for his glory to cover the earth? That's his heart's desire. 500 years later, we find Solomon's prayer in Psalm 72, verse 18 and 19. He prays this. Now, I could talk to you about Davidic worship and how David had set up a temple where they were praising and worshiping God and praying 24 hours a day with rotations of worshipers. I believe God's restoring that kind of thing to the earth. Amen? And I believe that's why it hinges on this worship. It's so vital. But in Psalm 72, verse 18 and 19, it says this, blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. Look at this. Here's his prayer. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. So Solomon begins to pray this. Let the whole earth be filled with his glory. He begins to agree with those things that he'd read in scripture. God, it's your desire that your glory should fill the earth. So he begins to pray. Let the earth be filled with your glory. Now he had a taste of it because when he finished the temple, in 2 Chronicles, and you can write this down, you can turn if you want to, but in 2 Chronicles chapters 5 through 7, he finishes the temple and they have a dedication service. And you know what happens? The glory of the Lord fills that temple and the ministers can't stand because of the presence of God. And I believe it came because of his prayers, because he was agreeing with God. Now it filled the temple, but the Lord promised what? As surely as I live, it will fill the earth. So he saw a portion of the fulfillment of this. And I just have to throw this in for fire's sake. In chapter 7, when he offered all of his offerings, not only did the glory fill that temple, but it says this in verse 1. When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven. They did not light the fire. God lit the fire. And it consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Now that's one thing, but what does the Lord want? His glory to fill the earth. Never mistake it. That's His fullness of His plan. Now, 200 years later, we get a glimpse of heaven's perspective. And I want to show you what's going on in heaven, and this is still going on today. All right? So look with me at Isaiah chapter 6. If you can hang on with me, I'm about to land this jet. Are you all doing okay? All right. 200 years later, Isaiah gets caught up into heaven. And oh my goodness, what a trip. How many of you would like that? I would. So in Isaiah chapter 6, he tells us what he sees. And we're going to talk about this in part. You should take time to read that whole thing. I like reading about what heaven is like. One, we're going to go there one day. And two, we're supposed to be bringing that down to earth. So we got to know something about it. Amen? Just like it's full of what? What's heaven full of? Oh, good, you listened. Isaiah chapter 6. Verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Now, again, let's not just read over this. Isaiah is seeing God. Realize what he's saying here. I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings, and two he covered his face, and two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to the other, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. So right now in heaven, this is what I want you to see. There's a prayer meeting going on in heaven right now. And they are proclaiming, Lord, the earth is full of your glory. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. They're releasing this word. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The whole earth is full of his glory. What's significant about that? Pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We need to agree with them. Holy, 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 the whole earth, and begin to pull down that glory, that will of God, and release that over the earth. This is happening right now in heaven. You see, the fiery glory is being prophesied and seen as accomplished. God always speaks to the end. Amen. I could show you this prophetic movement with, you know, by his stripes we're healed. In the past, it was by his stripes we are healed, but now we speak of it past. I could prove that through scripture. God always speaks to the fulfillment of a thing. And he's speaking to his earth being filled with his glory because that is his will as truly as he lives. Amen? In their eyes, his glory is already covering the earth, and all that separates us from seeing this is a thin veil of unbelief and our human capacity. Amen. Let's look at another guy, Habakkuk chapter 2, and then we'll land this thing. Habakkuk chapter 2, he was a prophet. He's up there towards the end of the Old Testament, but he was a prophet that worked the same time, lived, had the ministry the same time as Isaiah did. And he brings an important thing, and I want to bring this in to finish this today. Because Habakkuk spoke to this glory filling the earth, but he showed why sometimes we don't get that. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. And I'm reading out of the Amplified. It says, behold, is it not by appointment of the Lord of hosts that the nations toil only to satisfy the fire that will consume their work? Now, let me explain this a little bit. He's saying these people, the people in the earth, are all working for fires that won't amount to anything. They're working to feed fires. They're working to feed fires that'll just burn and burn out. Do you understand? They're working for toil. They're working for things in the earth that'll just be burnt up. Do you understand? They're working to feed fires that aren't the fire of God, just other fires, other passions, other things, other addictions, and I could go further. You know, I mean, they're feeding things. They're being passionate about things that are just going to burn up and be lost. And that will consume their work. And the people weary themselves only for emptiness, falsity, and futility. These people are spending their lives for nothing. Verse 14, but the time is coming when the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Now, how much water is in the sea? It's all water. And that's what the Lord wants on the earth, is all glory. The knowledge of it. He spoke of a day when not only this glory filled the earth, but the knowledge of it as well. The people in his day were averting this due to feeding wrong fires. And I want to ask us today, as I begin to close this thing, I want to ask us, what's burning in our belly? What are you excited about? Only you can answer this. What burns in you? What fire burns in you? What do you burn for? What do you burn for? What do I burn for? What lights my fire? What ignites me? What are you on fire for? What are you feeding? I'm asking myself this. What am I feeding in my life that's not producing glory? Amen. What am I giving myself to that's not for the glory of God? What do I have to have? What am I desperate for? You know? If you're in an addiction, you know, you can be addicted. You just got to be addicted to the right thing. Amen. There's nothing wrong with being addicted. But if you're addicted, you know, you've got to have that thing. Well, we ought to got to have God. We ought to burn for God. You know, there's kairos moments of history, and there's intersections in the spirit where God comes and meets with man. I believe that's one of these. I very much believe you're in one of those where God, there's combustion building in the spirit. You understand? What fire are we feeding? You know, when in Isaiah 6, when Isaiah stood in his presence, he recognized himself. He saw. He said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, and I'm a man of unclean lips." He recognized his need for the fire. And as we've been talking today, I'm praying that you'll recognize your need for the fire. One last scripture. John chapter 5. God is not going to die. So I'm telling you, the earth is going to be filled with his glory. I believe you're called to be one of those flaming swords that points the way to his presence and hosts it and guards it and preserves it. I believe that without all my heart. But we've got to choose to burn. I mean, we absolutely have to choose to burn. We've got to ask ourselves, am I willing to be one of those fiery ones? I want to show you someone that was in John chapter 5. He was a burning and shining lamp. This is talking about John the Baptist. And you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. In the Amplified, it says, John was the lamp that kept on burning and shining to show the way. And you were willing for a while to delight yourself in his light. With all my heart, I desire to be one of those burning ones. John the Baptist was one who was a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. I believe we have a whole generation that if we'll take it, we can be a whole generation of burning ones. We can be a whole generation of voices crying out in the wilderness of this world, prepare the way of the Lord. I believe God is calling us to be that flaming sword, to be that burning lamp for him. But we have a choice today. We have a choice.